Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said temper gets people into trouble, but pride keeps them there. We're happy to have this privilege of being with you today. We're glad we can study the Bible together and learn more about the will of God. We encourage you to tell others about the program as you have the opportunity. We get back now to our study concerning whether or not a person will be saved. The Bible teaches very plainly that the choice of salvation is in my hands. I make up my mind if I will go to heaven or not. Well, the Bible teaches very plainly that the Lord wants everyone to be saved. There are a number of passages that affirm that, and we were looking at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, where Peter says, "The Lord is giving us opportunity or time to repent, because he's not willing that any should perish." Paul told Timothy, "God wants all men to come to a knowledge of the truth." And so God doesn't want any of us to be lost. But to say that God doesn't want anybody to be lost does not mean that automatically God is going to save everyone, regardless of what they do or do not do. The Bible teaches that man has a choice in the matter, and we were pointing out the fact yesterday that God will not take away our freedom of choice because he wants us to be saved. He gives us the choice, he gives us the opportunity, but he does not take away our freedom of choice. Calvin taught that the sovereignty of God caused God to look down upon the human family and determine before our birth our destiny. While I would not at all deny the sovereignty of God, I do deny that God has taken away our choice and does not give us any decision in regard to our eternal destiny. We were looking at Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14 yesterday. The passage says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Well, if you look at that passage, it isn't hard to see when the Lord says, "Enter ye in," that he's placing the decision in my hands. He didn't say, "I've already decided for you, you'll enter in." No, he said, "You decide, you make the decision, you enter in to the gate that leads to life eternal." So you can see there's a choice that I make having to do with my eternal redemption. Other passages that point out the human choice that we make are some like the book of Joshua, chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua had led the children of Israel, and he had instructed them concerning what they were to do. The time comes that Joshua lays the proposition before the people and gives them the choice. He says to them, "Choose ye this day whom you will serve." Would someone look at that passage and say they had no choice? Does that make any sense at all? Choose this day whom you will serve, but you don't have any choice. Well, friends, it doesn't take a great deal of logic to be able to see the careless position a person takes when he says that God made the decision and didn't give us any choice in the matter. Joshua said, "Make up your mind who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell? Are you going to serve the God of heaven, the one who made us all? That's your choice." And then he made this statement. What a remarkable statement. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua said, "I've made a decision. Further, those who are a part of my house have made a decision." What's the decision? We will serve the Lord. Now, it would be foolish to argue that Joshua couldn't make any choice. It was already determined before him. And that his house, his family, could not make any choice. It had already been decided before. Well, if you look at the passage, it really makes that sound silly, doesn't it? When you look at a passage that says, "Choose ye this day," and there's really no choice. That would be certainly out of harmony with anything that is taught in the Word of God. Well, another passage I'm reminded of comes in the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 17. "Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. The bride and the spirit say, come." Now, if I am unable to come, and that the choice has been made for me without my part and without my intervention, then explain to me what that passage means. The record says the bride and the spirit say come. That is, the Spirit of God and the bride or the church say come. That invitation is extended. Now, of course, it's not the invitation of the church. It's an invitation that comes from God. God says, come. We simply rehearse that invitation to mankind. But does that mean there is no choice? Or does it mean God will not take away our freedom of choice? God leaves it in our hands. Read your Bible and see of the number of people, some who accepted, some who rejected. Would you say it's because they had no opportunity to do anything except what they did, or that they made a decision? The day of Pentecost, the second chapter of the book of Acts, tells of the Apostle Peter standing up with the 11 and preaching the gospel. The record says, "They that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now, if you look at that passage, you can see the preaching has been done. Now, there would be two classes of people there. One, those who gladly received the word. Wouldn't that imply there were also other people who did not gladly receive the word? Well, the answer is yes. And the decision was in the hands of the people. 3,000 decided to obey the Lord. They made a decision, and they followed up on that decision. There were others, I don't know how many, the Bible doesn't tell us that, but there were others who decided not to obey the Lord. The decision was in their hands. Was it because God had already decided for them? That makes a mockery out of salvation, doesn't it? It makes this passage foolish, because actually, before the event ever occurred, we could say, here are the ones who are going to be saved, here are the ones who are going to be lost. But choice was given to them, which indicates that it still hadn't been decided. It was in their hands, and they must make a choice as to what they would do. 3,000 precious souls on that day decided, we will submit our lives to the will of God. And thus, they were baptized according to the instruction given in Acts 2 and verse 38. The opportunity to obey the Lord was given to all. Not everyone did what they should do. Well, we appreciate this opportunity of study. I hope you'll listen again tomorrow. Let me remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.